Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
God bless you.
Thank you for letting me come back. It feels good to be at Portland Pentecostals. I love you all. It's home still. So that's why I'll be home for Christmas. Has a little bit different meaning to me in the last few years than it used to have. So I'm glad to be here with all of you. It's a privilege. I love you. There's new faces. That's good too. But I'm thankful for the old faces and the new faces. Today I'm going to take you to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, verse number 6. We're going to read one of the most well-known prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ. And so this, you know, this is a Christmas message, but if we were honest, every message is a Christmas message. And so I just pray today that as I allow God to use me, that there will be a clarity to the power of the incarnation, the power of God with us, the power of what God really accomplished when he came in flesh. The prophecy of Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." What a powerful, powerful promise of Jesus coming. And then Isaiah chapter number 59 and verses 20 through 21, another prophecy of the coming of Jesus. And it says, "A redeemer," or "the redeemer, will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." Aren't you thankful that Jesus came? Today I want to preach for just a few moments on the Redeemer of peace, the Redeemer of peace. Lord, I'm so thankful that you came to redeem. You came, oh God, to bring peace. Lord, we exalt you, Lord, as we, oh God, are in this place, because we are reminded that you are the Redeemer and you are the Prince of Peace. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you today. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in honor to the Word of God. You know, peace is hardwired into humanity to try to find peace. The scripture even talks about the last days, how that it's going to become even more extreme, that they're going to be looking everywhere for peace, and they're going to even cry, "Peace, peace." And then there's sudden destruction. Because inside of you and I as humanity, there is a desire to come to a place of peace. A place where we are at rest. But the reality is that in our world that is broken, in our world that is filled with sin, we have our own failures and our own shortcomings and our own mistakes that we've all lived out, that peace is something that is evasive in ourselves as humanity. If I want to come to a place of peace, I can't find it in myself. and we look for peace on a very superficial level so much as humanity, that when we think of peace, we think of tranquility. We think of the vacation on the beach in the beautiful weather, sipping your lemonade. We think of peace as no struggle and no turmoil and no fight. But the reality is that when you look in the Word of God, because of our failure as humanity, there is always a journey that we are being called to by God. And that journey is filled with a fight. It's filled with struggle. It's filled with a push. It's filled with a pull from God, as well as a push from all of the evil and all of the pain that we're trying to evade. And so the word peace for us as Americans is all about no war. But when you look at the word peace in the Word of God, the word shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace, it's not just talking about no struggle. In fact, they would speak of being at peace when they were in the middle of war. Because peace in the way that God designed it is not about no struggle. But peace is being in alignment. It's being in completion. It's being in the right place and formed into the right position for what we were intended to be. In fact, they would even talk about stones being shalomed. That doesn't even make sense to an American mind. But when they would build a building, that when the stone was carved into the right shape to fit right into the wall, it was shalomed. Because the peace that God wants for you and I is not just about no struggle, but it's about, am I in alignment with the design that I have been made to be and to do in my life? And so when Jesus was prophesied of coming, there was a beautiful promise that the God that became man would be the Prince of Peace, and that the increase of his government, that's his influence, but of his peace, there would be no end. There's a God that wants you and I to come to a place of peace in our lives, to where all of the struggle and all of the turmoil that you and I have in our lives, that it becomes to a place where I am aligned with God, at peace with God, to where the fight that I'm in and the struggle that I'm in, because there's an enemy of my soul and your soul that is trying to derail your purpose in God. But when I come into unity with God and I become at peace with God, when I become intertwined with God and his purpose, I'm here to tell you that I can be in a fight of my life, but I can have peace in the middle of that fight, because I know that I'm right where God put me, and I'm right in the hand of God that is taking me somewhere. And that's the God that we are celebrating when we talk about the Prince of Peace. I'm so thankful that God wants to bring you into peace. I know that there's struggles in our lives, but we can be at peace in the middle of the struggles of our lives. But today, I just feel like God wants us to understand this word, redemption, as well. You see, redemption is what Jesus came to do as well. He came to really redeem our peace, to buy back our peace. You see, when we as humans, when we make mistakes, when we rebel against God, when we fight the plan of God, and when bad things happen to good people, and we didn't do anything, and yet things are unfortunate in our lives, and things things become out of balance in our lives, there's a God that can redeem that which has been lost in your life. You see, in our world that we live in, and we look at debt, and struggle comes in our life, and in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, we see pictures of things that God wants to do in our hearts. When He did it in people's lives on the surface, we could see it in the reality of their day. That God was giving pictures of what God wants to do in our heart. And yes, when it's done in our heart, it affects what comes out of our lives. But when we have a struggle in our life, and we lose something in our life, we forfeit it. Let's just go with the practical of what we can really understand to begin with. That's the easiest. If you become so filled with debt in your life financially that you have to sell something that was yours, and you sell it to somebody, it's gone forever. And if you might be able to convince that person to let you buy it back, if you get them on a good day and you're willing to give them more than they gave you for the item, because on our rules as humanity, we look at things and we say, if I lost it, it's forever lost. There, I can't get it back. I don't have a choice in the matter. And so we can look at it and say it's gone forever. Well, in the Word of God, the word Redeemer is the word that God gave as a solution to the way that you and I as humanity live. Because when they were he gave the law in Leviticus. Leviticus has a lot of verses that are hard for us to we fall asleep while we're reading them, you know, and we're like, okay, what does this mean to me? But in the middle of that, there's some beautiful truths, is that God has a solution for my life and your life. And so God wanted to give a picture to help people to start to understand. God doesn't look at things the way we look at them. God doesn't look at our situation the way humanity does. And He doesn't treat humans the way humans treat each other. And so He made a law in Leviticus chapter number 25, verses 25 through 27. He said this. He said, if one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem it what his brother sold. Or if a man has no one to come redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since the sale, restore the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return his possession. What does that mean? Let's just cut to the chase. This is the way God made it. People get poor sometimes because they don't manage their money right. Sometimes because of catastrophic things that they couldn't even control. Sometimes you and I make mistakes, and we're not talking about money now. I'm talking about the decisions you've made in your life. Maybe some sin that you've done in your life that messed some things up and changed everything in the dynamics of your life. Changed your family, changed relationships, broke relationships, made them no good anymore. God gave this rule in the Old Testament that He said, if somebody that is related to that person steps up and they could pay the debt of their brother, and they had the right to go to whoever they owed the money to and say they lost their house, say. They could go to that person and say, hey, I'm the brother. I'm this guy's brother, and we want that house back. And we want it back right now. And this is the price we're going to give you. And the person who had bought the house didn't have a choice. They couldn't say, well, I like this house, and so I'm going to keep it because it's mine now. No, in the law of God, that brother had a right to say, right here, right now, I want to buy this back. And no interest, no negotiation. He could say, because I'm his brother, I'm going to buy this debt back right now. That's the way that God made the picture. And in the book of Ruth, there's a story that helps us understand this, because there was a man and a woman, and they were married, and there was a bad time in the land. There was no food. There was nothing to eat. And so they sold their land, and they moved to another country of Moab. They had two boys with them. And when they got to Moab, the two boys got married, and everything was kind of okay until something terrible happened. That woman Naomi's husband died, and both her sons died, and she had nothing, and she didn't have a job. She had no way to take care of herself, and so she decided, I'm just go back to where I used to live, and I'll be a poor beggar because I have nothing. So she left to go back to Bethlehem, where she was from, and her two daughter-in-laws were going with her, because women in those days, they didn't have anything except what their parents or their father had or their husband had. And so Naomi turned to Ruth and to the other a girl and said, I don't have anything for you. Just go back to where you used to live. Maybe you can marry a new man and you can have something in your life. And one of those daughters, Ruth, said, no, where you go, I will go. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. And so they went back to Bethlehem. But in Ruth chapter number 20, verse 20 and 21, this is what Naomi, this old woman, said. She said, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means bitter, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty again. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? And so they went back, and they were poor, and Naomi didn't even feel like she had anything left in her life. And today you might feel that way in your life, spiritually. Maybe your relationships are broken. Maybe you have no hope left. We all have a little bit of hope when we're born, but what happens to that hope? It gets stolen sometimes. Maybe we put our hope in something that disappoints us, and then all of a sudden, I got no hope left in my heart because I put it in something that disappointed me. Maybe somebody abused me and mistreated me, and I had nothing to do with it, but now I feel like I have nothing left in my life. But I have news for you that Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he came to redeem. He came to buy back. And he came to give you peace in your life. And so that is what God intends for your life and my life. And this picture starts to happen of these people, Ruth and Naomi, is that Ruth says, I don't have anything, so I'm just going to go to the fields where the farmers are, and I'll pick up what drop on the ground, just enough so that I can maybe have enough to make one meal for me. We look at our lives that way sometimes. That's the way we live so many times without Jesus. I just need a little bit to get by. Maybe somebody will give me a smile that will give me enough hope to get me to the next day, but I don't have joy in my life. I don't have purpose in my life, because that's all gone. I made bad decisions, or they made bad decisions. There's nothing left of my life, but we just go through life. I'll just pick up a little bit, whatever little bit of hope, whatever little bit of fun in my life that can just make me decide to live another day. And so that's what Ruth was doing. But she found herself in the field of a man named Boaz. And that man named Boaz looked at her and had faith.
favor on her and told his reapers, I want you to put lots of grain on the ground so that when she picks it up, she'll have more than enough. And she went home that night with more than enough. And her mother-in-law, Naomi, said, where have you been? And she said, I've been in the field of a man named Boaz. And something leapt inside of Naomi. And she said, he's a next of kin, or he's a redeemer kinsman. He's a redeemer. God has put his eye on us. And so through the course of the next few days, what happened is Naomi helped Ruth to make relationship with this Boaz enough to where Boaz says, I'm going to do what I can do as a redeemer kinsman. I'm going to buy back everything that Naomi thought was lost, and I'm going to buy their fields back, their property back, and I'm going to marry this woman, Ruth. And because of all of that, that Boaz had the right to do, this woman and her daughter-in-law, who had nothing and no hope, and everything was about, just call me bitter, just call me dried up, call me the leftovers, call me the sad one, call me the one that has no purpose left, call me the one that I am unimportant anymore. And yet, because of a redeemer, this man Boaz, he went to the gate of the city and he said, I'm going to buy everything that was Naomi's, and I'm going to marry this woman, Ruth. And Ruth had a child, and out of nothing came beautiful promise in her life. Why am I telling you all of this today? Because Jesus came as a baby boy in a manger, but he came for a reason in your life and my life that I am so thankful for. You see, remember what I said, if I was your best friend and I said, I'm sorry that you lost everything you had, and I'm going to get it back for you. And I went to the court and I said, this is my best friend and I want him to have everything back, and I'm willing to pay the price. I'm going to give back everything. I'm going to pay his debt. The judge would look at me and say, that's not good enough. The judge would say, you're his friend, that's nice, but you're not a kinsman redeemer. You're just a friend, and so you don't have a right. You can go to whoever he owes that money to, and if you beg them nicely, they could tell you, okay, I'll let you have it back, but he owed me $5,000. If you give me $10,000, he can have it back, and I could work a deal with him as a friend. But a kinsman redeemer, if I was a relative, I could walk into that court and say, I'm his brother and I'm here to pay his debt. He owes $5,000 and I have $5,000. It's a done deal. And the judge would say, it's done today. This day, when you walk out of these doors, everything that man owed, it's been paid. Everything he lost, it's back in his life, because he's a brother. He's a kinsman redeemer. So he has a right to say, right here, right now. Some of you understand where I'm going, but you got to understand that we have a God that loves you and I. And he is in the book of Genesis. He called Abraham his friend. And we got a song, I'm a friend of God. And I like it. It's wonderful. And it's all good. But you see, we have a God that wasn't interested in just being your friend. He wasn't just interested in saying, oh, I feel sorry for you, and so I'm going to go negotiate with the devil, and I'm going to convince the devil that all of that sin that you have in your life, that I'm going to convince him to loosen his grip on you. This man or this woman, they've made all these decisions to serve Satan. They've made all these decisions to serve death and to serve themselves, and it's made their heart broken, and there's no peace inside of them. And our God didn't say, I'm going to go work a deal with the devil. No. But we have a God that said, I am going to redeem them because I am going to have a right to do it. And so that's what John chapter number 1 is talking about when it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse number 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When God was prophesying in that scripture we started with and said, I will redeem Israel. I will buy back everything that they've lost. I'm going to buy back every sin that any human being could ever commit. I'm going to pay the price for them. I'm going to redeem them. He was saying, I'm going to do this the way that only I can do it, in a way that I have a right, not just because I'm God, but because I'm going to be their brother. I'm going to be a brother to humanity. And so He came as a child, a baby in a manger, ordinary, just like you and I, with no money and no popularity and no comforts of our own. But God came like that in flesh. Why? Because He said, I can redeem, I can buy back everything in your life that you think is gone forever, because I will redeem you. I will come and I will pay the price for your sin and my sin. And in Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 10 and 11, and then verse 14 and 15, the writer gives us this picture. He says, for it was fitting for Him. This is talking about God. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and He who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren. You see, this is the beauty of Jesus coming in flesh, is that He participates in everything you participate in. You feel pain, He feels pain. We poke you and you bleed. Jesus was poked through with a spear on the cross, and blood and water came out of His side. We have a God, you're rejected. He was despised of men and rejected by men. He was betrayed by His best friend and sold for 30 pieces of silver. This is the God we have. So the God said, He said, all of the horrible pain and all of the sin that this world has as humanity, I'm going to go right down, become a man, so that I can sit with them in their darkness, and I can bring them light through myself, that I will sit with them in their pain, and I will not only say, I'm sorry about your pain, but He'll say, I feel your pain, because I've been through it. I saw people turn their back on me literally as I was in flesh. I said tough things to them and they turned around and never followed me again. I loved and embraced my friend and he went down the road and sold me for 30 pieces of silver and came back and gave me the kiss of betrayal. And I called him friend. That's the God we serve. And He did that. Why? So that He could have the right to redeem you and I back to peace. Verse number 14 says, inasmuch then as the children, that's us, have partaken in the flesh and blood, that's the cross, that's Jesus dying on the cross, He Himself, Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You have a God I'm here to tell you, it is the most transformative, forever changing story of all, that God came in flesh as a little baby boy so that he could call you brother and sister, so that he could then stand and say, I have the right to buy back everything in their life that they think has no hope, that they don't think has any joy left in it. And we have a God that he redeems. I'm so thankful that my Redeemer lives. I'm so thankful that Jesus died on that cross and rose again, but he came in flesh so that he has a right to look you in the eye and say, I know you've had it tough. I know you messed up. I know you sinned in ways that cannot be undone. But I am your Redeemer. And I'm here to tell you that I am going to take every failure, every sin, every mistake in your life, and I'm going to buy it, and it's going to be mine, and I'm going to share it with you. And as I share it with you, I'm going to take things that you think are too bad to be anything worthwhile in your life, the things that you want to hide in your closet and you don't want anybody to know that they ever happened or that you ever did it, because there's nothing good that could come of it. I'm here to tell you that there's a God who redeems, and when he redeems, he takes things you don't think have any value in them, and he'll say, but I can take that pain of your abuse as a child, and I can bring out of it hope. I can bring out of it love and compassion for others, because we have a God who became our brother. He became flesh and blood so that he could pay a payment for my sin, for your sin. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that when Jesus came, he came to redeem us. And he came to redeem us to a place of peace, a place where we become unified with God again. And so no longer is the struggle a struggle out of fear. It's not a struggle of a fight for my life as in a fear that I'm going to be destroyed, but it's a fight to achieve and to attain all that God has destined for me to do and to be and to become. And so the hope is turned back alive in my life, and the peace of God can flow into my life even where I have had darkness all of my life, because we have a God that he came to redeem you and I. I'm so thankful he's a redeemer. I'm so thankful he's a redeemer. I know he washes our sins away. But what's so beautiful is there's results sometimes of our sins. Sometimes things we've done, they can't be undone, and they actually affected relationships. They brought people into our lives that we wouldn't have had in our lives. And we've got to understand that when we give it to Jesus and he redeems us, that means that even those parts of your life, that God wants to put his hands into those areas of your life and heal you and bring beauty in it. He brings beauty for ashes. He takes everything and he makes it right again. He puts it into a place of beauty. I'm here to encourage you today that everything that Naomi and Ruth thought would never be again, it was theirs again, but it was only theirs through Boaz, their kinsman redeemer. And today, everything that you thought is lost in your life, or you can't go back to it and change it, because we're here. Human and we're bound by time. There's a God that when he steps in and we respond to the cross and we repent of our sins and we're baptized in the name of Jesus, we put his name on us, we become brethren of Christ Jesus, and he puts his spirit in us, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. When I respond to the cross and he redeems my life, takes every bit of my life so that he can then go back in his own sovereign right and ability and start touching areas of your past that you have tried to hide from God because you feel like if they come to the surface, it will only bring fear and pain and embarrassment and shame and brokenness. But our God, when he starts reaching back into those areas of your life, he's going to put beauty inside of you because he came so that he had the right to do that. We don't have to negotiate with sin. We don't have to negotiate with the devil and plead with the devil. We don't have to plead with the situations in our lives and say, please let something good come out of it. No, but God, he redeemed you and he has a right. And in his timing, he's going to begin to take all of that pain, all of that hurt, all of those inconvenient details of your life that you think are a nuisance. Let me get a little bit up and personal because I don't know anybody here with this situation. That divorce that you had in your life, and now you got an ex-wife in your life that you think is nothing but an annoying terror in your life. But when you come to Jesus and he redeems your life, that relationship might not be a marriage again, but God can start to touch that relationship and teach you forgiveness through it, teach them grace through it, teach them forgiveness through it, teach them that love is beyond a situation, because our God, he buys it back. And I'm here to tell you, if there's things in your past that you're afraid are going to catch up with you, I'm here to tell you that you have a brother, and that's Jesus Christ, and he's saying, I came to die on the cross for you. I already paid the price. Would you allow me to redeem you? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he's my redeemer. If you'd stand in this place tonight or this morning, I'm here to tell you that we have a God that has redeemed us. And he will redeem you. And if you are bought with the blood of Jesus, I'm telling you, you're redeemed. And you need to rest in the grace of God. You need to rest in the truth that God is working. And he has every bit of your struggle in his hands. He has every bit of the sins of your past in his hands. And he's doing so not to condemn you, but so that he can redeem out of your own sin value and beauty and hope, because we have a miraculous God that can heal us. He can heal broken hearts. He can make free those that are bound by their past, because we have a Redeemer who came to redeem your peace. That uncertainty in your life, child of God that's been walking with Jesus a long time, and all these things that you can't control, you're letting them drive your heart to fear and drive your heart to depression. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to encourage you that Jesus, when he bought you with his blood, he didn't just buy the leftovers. He didn't just buy the good, nice things that you felt like you had left in your life, but he bought the ugly. He bought the mistakes. He bought failures. And that means that he wants to do something with them in your life. I'm so thankful that a man couldn't make up a better plan than God. A God with all power, everlasting God with no limitations, allowed himself to be formed into our image, be born as a child, and submit himself to our world, submit himself to pain, submit himself to the punishment of sin that I deserve. Why? So that he could turn to you and say, I have a right as your brother to take care of that issue in your life. And would you just let me, redeem you? And would you allow it to be that all that ugliness you've avoided, you would just let it be born out in front of me? And you would say, God, Go through the ashes and pull out of it what you want to use. Pull out of it what I think has no value and put your value in it, because my Redeemer, He lives. And one day I'm going to be in His presence in heaven one day, and I'm going to join with the song that they all are going to sing in Revelation 5 and verse number 9. They sing a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." I'm here today to encourage you that all that you think is lost, it's not lost, because my Redeemer lives. It might not be what I thought it would be, but I have a God that reaches into my past and He pulls value out of it. And so today I'm opening these altars to come. If you've got something in your life that you feel like you have been running from, I encourage you to come and to bring it to the forefront in your prayers before Jesus, because He's a Redeemer. My Redeemer lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's it. I see people coming. I know that we're all at different places in our lives, but there's no failure of your past that Jesus can't redeem. Hallelujah, Jesus.